turn to the book of Luke, chapter 15. Book of Luke, chapter 15. We'd like to read verses 25 through verse 32. Luke 15, verses 25 through verse 32. Now his elder son was in the field. As he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet or fitting that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. These verses, of course, are part of what is known as the parable of the prodigal son. In order to understand the teaching of Christ's parables, it's always good to discover the occasion or the what prompted Christ to speak the parable. And the occasion of this parable would take us to verses 1 and verse 2. And there we read, Then drew near unto him, that is Jesus, all the publicans and sinners, to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, they complained, they grumbled, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, that is, unto the scribes and the Pharisees. So it's important to realize that Christ, here in Luke chapter 15, is talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, who were murmuring at the fact that Jesus Christ was sitting with sinners. We then read, beginning in verse 4 through verse 32, what I believe is one parable. I believe it's one parable with three parts. It's not that important. But I don't believe that this is three separate parables, but one parable, three parts, speaking to the scribes and Pharisees, and the point in each parable is the same. Again, addressing the issue, the scribes and Pharisees were murmuring because Jesus Christ received sinners. Now in verses 4 through verse 7, Christ spoke of lost sheep. And we know, of course, how the one sheep was found. Verses 8 through 10, he speaks concerning the lost coin. And then beginning with verse 11, through the end of the chapter, we have the lost son. In each point, that which was lost was found, which reinforces the fact that Jesus receive sinners. That's the fact that is being reinforced in each time that which was lost was found. Jesus received sinners. Now each time that which was found, lost was found, there was great rejoicing. In verses 5 through 7, and when he found it, that is the sheep, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Again, he's talking to the scribes and Pharisees who were doing what? Murmuring and complaining because Christ receiveth sinners. But when one sheep is found, he says there is great rejoicing. He goes on to say that there is great rejoicing in heaven as well. Then in verse 9 and verse 10, we see the woman who lost this coin, and she finds it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. And then in verse 10 again, he says, likewise there shall be rejoicing in heaven. That which was lost is found, and people rejoiced. But the scribes and Pharisees, they didn't rejoice. They murmured and they complained. And then concerning the lost son, we see in verses 23 and verse 24, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now in each of these three cases, and the fact that there was rejoicing, this was a rebuke to the scribes and Pharisees who, instead of rejoicing that Christ received sinners, they murmured and they complained. So this one parable with three parts, or look at it as three parables, however you want to look at it, doesn't really matter. It was a rebuke to the scribes, a rebuke to the Pharisees who, instead of rejoicing that Jesus received sinners, they were murmuring and complaining. Now, in what is known as the parable of the prodigal son, which I believe is the third part of this one parable that Jesus is speaking, there are three main characters in the parable. There, of course, is the prodigal son. The prodigal son, of course, went into the far country, squandered all his money and riotous living, and he represents the sinner. He represents the sinner that Jesus receives. Then there's the father. The father, of course, is watching and waiting anxiously for the day when his son would return. And when his son finally did return, he welcomed him. He welcomed him with love, representing the fact that Jesus Christ received sinners. And then the third character in what is known as the parable of the prodigal son is the older brother. He stayed home. He stayed home and he appeared to be righteous. Just like the scribes and Pharisees, they appear to be righteous. But just like the scribes and Pharisees, this elder brother, this elder son, refused to rejoice when the father received the prodigal. And he is one of the main characters. He is one of the characters that usually go unnoticed. We've all heard many, 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 many messages on the prodigal son. But very few messages have been preached upon the elder son. And oh, there are many, many lessons in the elder son. I believe the elder son was just in bad shape as a prodigal. He had a different set of problems, but he had plenty of problems. And the truth is, as we'll see, I believe he really represents more of God's people than the prodigal does. In verses 12 through 20, deals with the younger son. He leaves his father's house for a distant country. He goes to that distant country. He squanders all his inheritance. May I say, he could not have squandered his inheritance had he not left his father's house. He had to leave his father's house in order to squander his inheritance. In verse 17, he is eventually brought to his senses, and he remembered what it was like being at home with his father. And he began to realize his sinful condition, and he was humbled. He leaves the far country. And he comes home to the Father. And there's a beautiful picture there of repentance. He did not bring to his father's house the harlots. He left them. He left the far country. He left everything about the far country. He didn't bring any of that into the father's house. That's repentance. He let go. He left those things. But that's not our message. And then we read of the reception that he received of the Father in verses 20 through verse 24. And how that it was a time of great rejoicing. But tonight we want to focus upon the elder son. Unlike the younger son, I mean, in the beginning of what is known as the parable of the prodigal son, it would appear that the prodigal is irresponsible. Certainly he is. He is unfaithful. He is not committed. And many would think that the elder son, since he stayed home, he appears to be the responsible one. He appears to be the faithful one. He appears to be the committed one. But as the story unfolds, we see that this individual had some problems. He had some real issues. And though he stayed home, and though he never physically left the father's house, and though he never spent his substance in riotous living, never wasted his substance with harlots, never went into the far country away from his father, never did he sit in the hog pen as his brother did, never did he sell himself to another master as his brother did. That is, he never did these things outwardly. He never did these things physically. But he had a terrible spirit. He had a terrible spirit about him. And this man was in terrible, terrible shape. There are two applications of Luke chapter 15. You can apply it to salvation, and I believe that's how it, the main application is to salvation. That which was lost is found. But you can also make application to the child of God that is backslidden. Now, if you make application to salvation, this elder son represents the Pharisees and scribes. That means this elder son, if the application is to salvation, the elder son is unsaved. He's unsaved. He's the prodigal saved, but the elder son isn't. Now, if you make the application to the backslidden, the prodigal no doubt was backslidden, but he returned. But the elder son, he also was backslidden. And there's no evidence that he ever got right. At least in the parable, he didn't get right. And again, his behavior, if you apply it to backsliders, if you apply it to all God's people, his behavior is much more representative of God's people today than the prodigal son. In most Baptist churches, there are few in their saved life who have lived like the younger son. That is, they left the father's house. They left the father's house and they wasted much of their lives with riotous living. There aren't a whole lot in our Baptist churches like that. There are some. But there, our Baptist churches are filled with the elder son. I mean, the elder son, he's in every church service. You see, this individual, he appears responsible. He appears faithful. He appears committed to the Father. He's like those that they never leave the Father's house. They're always there. That doesn't mean you don't have problems. That doesn't mean that you're right with God. The elder son developed the wrong attitude. The elder son developed a wrong spirit. And he did so without ever going physically into the far country. He did so even though he remained in the Father's house. And I submit to you tonight, there are many who remain in the house of God. They have never gone out into the far country physically, but they have developed a wrong attitude and a wrong spirit about them, and they're in just as bad a shape as this elder son. He is representative of many of God's people. And no doubt in the parable, he is representative of the publicans, and he is representative of the scribes and the Pharisees. The prodigal is representative of the sinner that Christ receives. And we want to notice seven things about this elder son. The first thing we want to notice about him is he was filled with self-pity. We have many sitting in Baptist churches that are filled with self-pity. And that was this elder son. You see, when the younger son finally returned home, we're told that the older brother was out in the field. We assume he was serving, he was laboring out in the field. And as he came in from the field, we read in verse 25 that he heard music and dancing. We are told in verse 26 that he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. Why is the music playing? Why are the people dancing? And in verse 27, the reply came, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And when that servant said, thy brother is come, he thought he was telling this elder son what would be wonderful news, what should have been wonderful news. Thy brother is come. And when he said, your father has received him safe and sound, he thought he was telling this man wonderful news. But it wasn't good news to the elder son. Instead, we read in verse 28, and he was angry and would not go in. And that phrase, would not go in, reveals that he was overcome with self-pity. He feels slighted. He feels that he has been mistreated. So he refuses to go in. At this very moment, he could not see beyond himself. Notice in verse 29, notice the eyes, the me's, and the my's. That's what he's filled with. I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. You see, he has an eye problem. He is filled with himself. And he was angry and would not go in. So we see him standing there. Everybody else has gone to the party. The music is playing in the background. You can hear the laughter. You can hear the celebration. Everybody is having a great time, except the elder son. He's having a party too, but he's the only one there. He's having a pity party. And as a result, he imprisons himself. And how many of God's people imprison themselves because they feel sorry for themselves? They've been slighted. They've been mistreated. And they imprison themselves for their whole life. They cannot serve God. And though they may appear responsible, and though they may appear faithful and committed, because they've never really left the Father's house, they're anything but responsible. They're anything but faithful. They're anything but committed. They have a wrong spirit. They feel slighted and they are offended. You see, the prodigal went away with his feet. And though the elder son never went away with his feet, he did go away. He went away with his heart. My point is, you can remain in the house of God, never leave the house of God, never physically go into the far country, never physically sit in the hog pen, and still be far, 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 far away from God. And I believe that was true of the elder son. He's representative of the scribes and the Pharisees. They appeared faithful. They appeared righteous. But oh, how far away they were from God. Secondly, he had a wrong spirit toward his brother. As soon as he heard those words, "Thy brother is come," his heart should have overflowed with rejoicing. Those two words, thy brother, should have melted his heart. As soon as he heard, "Thy brother is come," his heart should have been filled with rejoicing. And when he heard that he was safe and sound, there in verse 27, oh, the joy that should have filled his heart, the thanksgiving and the praise that should have filled his heart. But instead we read, he was angry. He was angry. "Thy brother is come. He is safe and he is sound." And he was angry. It would not go in. You see, his brother had disappeared and had been gone for quite a while. Now he's back home. He's safe and sound. And instead of this man's heart bursting with joy, he was angry. It would not go in. And though the elder son never left his father's house, and though he appeared to be faithful, and though he appeared to be committed, he had a wrong spirit. He had a wrong spirit toward his brother. He was angry. He was jealous because his brother was being blessed. Similar to Joseph's brothers. They could not speak peaceably to him because they were angry and because they were jealous of their brother. That was the condition of this elder son. He was so angry. He was so jealous with his brother that he did not even refer to him as his brother. But instead in verse 30, notice he said, "But as soon as this thy son," not my brother, but "thy son." The servant referred to him as "thy brother." The father in verse 30 referred to him as "thy brother." But when the elder son spoke, he said, "He's your son." Didn't even recognize him as a brother. I'm telling you, he had a problem with his brother. He had a wrong spirit toward his brother. And from his response, it is very obvious that he was not burdened for his brother the whole time his brother was gone. He was not concerned for his brother the whole time he was gone. When that servant said, "Thy brother is come,"
and he's safe and sound, you would expect the elder son to say, "Praise God, my prayers have been answered." But he didn't say that because he didn't pray for his brother. He wasn't concerned for his brother. He wasn't burdened for his brother. It's true. He never left his father's house. He never was in the hog pen. But he had a terrible, rotten attitude toward his brother. And there are those sitting in Baptist churches. They have never left the church. They are faithful to the church. They are always there. They're not out in the hog pen. But they have a terrible spirit toward their brothers, toward their sisters in Christ. You see, the point is, you don't have to leave the Father's house. You don't have to sit in the hog pen to quench and grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, if you leave the Father's house, you will quench and grieve the Holy Spirit. And if you sit in the hog pen, you'll do the same. But you don't have to leave the Father's house, and you don't have to sit in the hog pen to quench and grieve the Spirit of God. You can be just like the elder son. You can stay in the Father's house, appear to be faithful, appear to be committed, but be a hindrance because you have a wrong spirit toward your brother. And I'll just say it as plain as I know how. If you're here tonight and you have a wrong spirit toward a brother or sister in Christ, toward a fellow member of Home Baptist Church, you are a hindrance. You say, "I've never left, I'm faithful." You are a hindrance. You quench and you grieve the Spirit of God. You have the same problem that this elder son had. And it's a problem. It's a real problem. Thirdly, he had a wrong spirit toward his father's love, toward his father's forgiveness, toward his father. We see that he felt in verse 30. "But as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." He believed his father was wrong in receiving the son. He believed that his father was wrong in receiving his brother back home. He not only resented his brother, but the truth is, he resented his father. Again, you read verse 29 and you read verse 30. And this elder son had a resentment toward his father. And I believe there are those sitting in Baptist churches today. They've never left. They appear committed. They appear faithful. But if you got to the root of the matter, I mean, if you sat down and you pressed the issue and you get to the root of the matter, you will find that they have resentment even toward God. Not only resentment toward their brothers and sisters in Christ, but resentment toward God. I've talked to many of God's people that I believe they'll never admit it. God's people in a million years will never admit that they have resentment toward God. But they do. Many do. For a lot of reasons, and none of them, of course, are good reasons. But though he never left his father's house, he had a wrong spirit toward his father. He had a resentment toward his father. Again, the lesson is, you don't have to leave in order to have a wrong spirit toward the father. You can stay. And you can go through all the motions. I mean, if you come to church any length of time, especially if you've grown up in the church, you know how you're supposed to act. You know how church members are supposed to act. And it's very easy to go through the motions and all the while have a terrible spirit toward your brothers and sisters in Christ and even have a resentment toward God the Father. Fourthly, he had a wrong spirit
about his father's service.
Though he never left the father's house, though he never journeyed into a far country, though he never squandered his father's money, he never ended up in the filthy hog pen.
But he thought in his mind, because he had not done those things, he thought that he was more deserving than his brother. And I'm telling you, there are a lot of people that think that way. Verse 29, again, and he answering said to his father, "Lo, these many years." And I believe you can put emphasis upon these many years. "These many years I served thee. I have served thee. My brother, he hasn't, but I for many, many years have served thee." And he goes on, and the resentment begins to come out. What he is saying is, "I am worthy. You never gave me a goat where I could celebrate with my friends. I'm worthy of that because I have served thee these many years. I'm worthy." Nothing we do makes us worthy. Nothing. And any time we think because we haven't left the church, because we haven't been out in the hog pen, that makes us worthy, we're wrong. And we see that he had a wrong spirit about the Father's service. "All these many years do I serve thee." You see, he thought he earned the Father's love. He thought he earned some favor of the Father. You can't earn the Father's love. You can't earn the Father's favor. That's why it's grace. Because you can't earn it. Fifthly, he had a wrong spirit toward the blessings of the Father. Again, that's made obvious in verse 29 and verse 30. He does what a lot of God's people do. He had his eyes upon what he did not have rather than upon what he did have. He said, "You never gave me a goat." What's a goat compared to what this elder son had? Nothing. But we're like that. We get our eyes on a particular material blessing, and we think if we don't have that, somehow we've been shortchanged. He had a wrong spirit about the Father's blessings. So he was angry and would not go in. So his father went out. And the father began to plead with the son, begging the son to come in. But the son answers the father. He says, "Look, Dad, all these years I've been serving you, and you never once gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends." You see, he looked at his father, and instead of thanking him for all the things he received, he said, "You never gave me the goat." He had a wrong spirit toward the blessings of the Lord. I have seen with my eyes and I have heard with my ears, every church I've pastored, here included, people who are angry, people who are jealous because someone has been blessed. It happens. It happens all the time. You know why? Because people are like this elder son. And though they have the blessings of God, they don't see that. They don't appreciate that. They want what somebody else has. They want what they don't have. You see, all that time that the younger brother was out in the world, he had lost the blessings of the father.
But this elder son, he still had the father's provision. All that time, he had the father's provision. He had the father's love. He had the father's care. And he has the audacity to say, you never gave me a goat. And all the time, he had the blessings of the father. You see, you don't have to leave the father's house to become unappreciative. I believe there are many sitting in Baptist churches that are very unappreciative of what they have. Unappreciative of God's blessing. Sixthly, he had an elevated opinion of himself. He said, just like the scribes and Pharisees, he said in verse 29, lo, these many years do I serve thee. And notice what he says next. Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Now that's just not so. That's never so. There isn't anyone, I don't care how faithful you are, there isn't anyone who can honestly say that. But just like the scribes and Pharisees whom he represents, he believed that. My brother, he wasted all that money in sinful living. I have never left your house, and I've never transgressed the commandment of God. And I believe he was comparing himself to his brother. And we'll do that. We'll find somebody that we believe is worse than us, and we will compare ourselves to them to make ourselves look better. But the problem is, he had an elevated opinion of himself. The truth is, though he never left his father's house, he was totally unaware of his condition. And that's why today you can preach the Word of God. You can be as plain as you can possibly be without mentioning names. And people don't get it. Because they're totally unaware of their condition. They are just like the elder son. Lastly, he was unhappy. And he was unfeeling. Thy brother is come. He has been received safe and sound. Everybody is rejoicing. The whole household is rejoicing. All the servants are rejoicing. Everyone's giving thanks. Except the elder son. He wasn't happy. Because of his condition, he could not rejoice. Because of his condition, he could not give thanks. Because of his condition, he could not find a single word of praise in his heart. Here is an unhappy individual. You know why he's unhappy? He's unhappy because of his condition. It's not because the father never gave him a goat. That's not the reason that he's unhappy. Oh, that's the reason he gives. But that's not the reason. He's unhappy because he had a wrong spirit toward his brother. He's unhappy because he had resentment toward God. And I'm telling you, the reason many folks will never get happy is because they cannot bring themselves to admit that they have resentment toward God. But this is why he was unhappy. Because he had resentment toward the Father. Because of a wrong spirit about the Father's service. Because he was unappreciative. And because he had an elevated opinion of himself. These are the reasons that he was unhappy. It's not because his brothers come home that he was unhappy. He's the reason for his unhappiness. You will notice unhappy people, no matter what the circumstance, no matter where they go, they're unhappy. And there is a common denominator. And the common denominator is themselves. That is the reason they are unhappy. Because of themselves. And that was the case with this elder son. I'm telling you, the prodigal, he was in bad shape. But this elder son, he was in just as bad, if not worse, shape than the prodigal son. So you have two sons. Two sons showing us, basically, that there are two ways to sin. One sinned away from home. The other sinned at home. The point being, you don't have to go, you don't have to leave to get out of fellowship with God. You can appear faithful and loyal, and yet you can be just as rotten as this elder son. He was in bad shape. He was in terrible shape. One sinned outwardly. One sin was more inward. Though eventually the elder son's began to manifest itself outwardly, his sin was more inward than the prodigal. The prodigal son eventually feels that he's not worthy of the father's love because of wild living. The elder son feels he's worthy because of serving. You see, they were both in terrible shape. But the message of hope is this: the Father receiveth sinners. There's the hope. There's the encouragement. The Father received the prodigal son. He received his younger son. Received him with open arms. He was ready to do the same with the elder son as well. So whatever sin that there is in our life, the point is we need to repent. And the Father is willing to receive sinners. I am glad tonight that God still receives sinners. Don't ever get angry because God receives a sinner. That's something to rejoice about. You see, the scribes and Pharisees, because they thought they were better, they got angry. So Christ speaks this parable. And this elder son represents the scribes and Pharisees who refused to rejoice. God help us that we never leave. But God help us that if we remain, that we would not develop a bad spirit toward our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I can almost guarantee you that if you have a wrong spirit toward a brother or sister in Christ, you really get to the bottom of that, and I believe you'll find you have resentment toward God. What a terrible thing for you and I to ever have in our heart resentment toward God. That we would be so self-centered that we would forget all the blessings that we have every single day of our lives and get our eyes upon a goat. You never gave me a goat. You see, people act like this elder son all the time. Not only toward God, they do it in a church setting all the time. Well, the pastor treated them differently than he treated me. He never did that for me. That's the elder son. That's the spirit of the elder son. And you feed that spirit And pretty soon you'll have a wrong spirit toward someone, and pretty soon you'll have resentment toward God. Anytime we begin to feel that spirit, don't feed it. Don't feed it. Don't go talking to people who will feed it. And there are plenty of people who will feed that spirit. You go talk to people that you know will tell you, you need to get right. You need to just get right and get over that. That's who you need to talk to. Don't feed that spirit. It'll destroy you. And it'll destroy a church. And it'll prove a quenching and a grieving of the Spirit of God. Brother Larry, if you'd come.